Vada Madhava Kundalini Hari. Yeah? Why is he called Madhava? You know? What does Ma mean? Ma. Madhava. What is Ma? Yeah, Ma. Hey, Ma means goddess. Like that. See in English. Yeah. And Dhava means like husband. So it means husband of Lakshmi. Agoista Nairvada Madhava, you know, husband of the goddess of fortune. Kunja Bihari. You know? What does Kunja mean? What does Kunja mean? Kunja? Oh, okay. Trying to get her to test her. Yeah. No cheating. He's cheating. Okay. Kunja means, in Spanish, arboleda. It means like grove. Grove. Bowers, grove. It's like a little, like a forest, but like, you know, like a bower, a grove. It's a nice little area like that. Yeah. Kunja Bihari. What Bihari means? Radha Bunky Bihari? No? Okay, Mr. Pundit. What does Bihari mean? Huh?
Just for
sport?
In the forest.
Okay, so he's enjoying sporting the forest. Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dhari. Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Nagarada Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Astasaki ki jai. Shishi Radha Madhava Chaitanya Chandraya Mandir ki jai. Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devam sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayam udiraye. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So it's 4:26 dose 12. Atmanam arhayam chakre. Dupalepa shrug adbihi. Sadvalan krita sarvango. Mahishyam adade manaha. Bhupale Pashwagadi Bihi Atman Vargo Mahishyam Adade Manaha 426.12 Atmanam Mahayam Chakre Dupalepa Shwagadibi Sargo Aisha Mada De Manaha Amana Marayam Chakre Dupalepa Shwagadibi Sagalam Kipalam Sango Marisha Madhave Vanaha Amana Marhayam Chakre Dupale Shwagadi Bihi Avalam Krita Sarvango Marisha Madhade Vanaha Amana Marhayam Chakre Dupaleka Shradadibi Sarvalankrita Sarvango Mahisham Adade Mana Amana Marhayam Chakre Dupalepa Shwagadibi Svadvalankrita Sarvango Mahishamadibi Araya. The translation. After this, King Paranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He smeared sandalwood, scented sandalwood pulp all over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. After this, he began to search out his queen. There's a peach. After this, King Paranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. And after this, he began to search out his queen. All his purport. When a man comes into good consciousness and accepts a saintly person as a spiritual master, he hears many Vedic instructions in the form of philosophy, stories, narrations about great devotees, and transactions between God and his devotees. In this way, a man becomes refreshed in mind, exactly like a person who smears scented sandalwood pulp all over his body and decorates himself with ornaments. These decorations may be compared to knowledge of religion and the self. Through such knowledge, one becomes detached from a materialistic way of life and engages himself in always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other Vedic literatures. The word sadvalankrita, used in this verse, indicates that one must be absorbed in knowledge gathered from the instructions of saintly persons. Just as King Paranjana began to search out his better half, the queen, one who is decorated with knowledge and instructions from saintly persons should try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. One cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is favored by the instructions of a saintly person. Therefore, Shanartham Das Thakur sings, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitte Te Kariya Aikya. If you want to become a saintly person, if you want to become return to our original Krishna consciousness, you must associate with sadhu, saintly person, shastra, authoritative Vedic literature, and guru, a bona fide spiritual master. This is the process. So this is the analogy of Paranjana, continuing like that.
And Narada Muni is telling an after-dinner story. Tomorrow is Prachini Barishat. He's a very pious but misguided executive. He's being guided and engaged in animal sacrifices for the benefit of people by his advisors, counselors. Like you see the President of the United States, he's supporting so much animal slaughter for scientific research, like that. Horrible things, you know. He doesn't know the time of death, all those animals were waiting for him. Getting revenge, yeah. So then, and he's not willing to listen to like direct advice, preaching. So then Narada Muni adopts the ploy of telling him a story about somebody else, about a King Paranjana. And then Maharaj Prachini Barishat realizes, oh, this is the same as me. Ah, oh, I understand what's happening. And he renounces his position and do become purified. So in the story now, it's talking about how King Paranjana goes to the forest to hunt animals and killing. And so Prabhupada's talking about breaking the principles and about killing animals. We're talking yesterday about how this represents the most gross ignorance, this desire to assassinate somebody else. I'm God. I can kill you. Sacrifice your life for me. In different countries like Spain and stuff, you see this really, this feeling is there that meat means. You know, when I was becoming vegetarian in 1972. And my brother-in-law, Rick Caton, he was like, because at that time to become a vegetarian in America in 1972, people thought you either were a homosexual or a communist. It was like one of the two, like, you vegetarian. Oh, I must be a homosexual or something, you know, or a communist. You know? Yeah. Oh, you know? So it was, you know, a great social embarrassment for my wife that I was a vegetarian and that, you know. Yeah. Are you going to have any children? Oh my God, my husband's a vegetarian. Yeah, very. It was bizarre, you know. And so then my brother-in-law, Rick Caton, you know, my wife's sister's husband, you know, he was having the meat at the table. I wasn't taking any meat. And he said, you know, my meat is good meat. I killed it myself, broke the necks myself. You know? Then he said one time, another time he said, you know, I didn't eat meat one day and I felt really sick. Yeah, we have this consciousness, this absorption, and that kind of gross, passionate, violent food. And so then it explains then that, you know, yeah, he became tired of this. We're saying that it's just not a natural position. You just can't be a demon forever. You can try your best to be a demon, go on and on like that. But in the end, it's just not natural. You know, so you become tired of it. And then what happens? Buddha. You know, it's the first level of yoga. You start thinking about things. You just kind of stop for a little bit and just can't go on anymore and it's exhausted. And then naturally you start, you know, say, come to your senses. Right? We're with Krishna. And we become, fall into the ahankara, forget Krishna. Then we start knowing things, Buddha, Buddhi. Then we start thinking about what we know, plans, manas. Then we start adopting different kinds of bodies. Oh, I have to occupy space. Oh, okay, I have to have, you know, sensuous power, okay. I have to have a visual form to represent people to myself. You know? So you get more and more gross bodies like that, right? So, and then we not only do we get senses and we're aware of the senses, but we become absorbed in the sense objects. We even forget the senses, right? So you tell somebody, come to your senses, right? Yeah? You say, oh, wow, thank you. You know? Yeah? Because we've even forgotten about our senses. We're damaging our senses, you know, like that. And we realize, oh my God, I'm just damaging my senses here. You know, this enjoyment. I'm using my senses to enjoy something like that. You know, but actually, it's actually damaging them. I mean, meet people like that. Really people very much in the mode of ignorance, like really heavy alcoholics and stuff like that. And they just, you know, this the sensation, they become absorbed in the sensation of drinking. It's very, you know, burning and everything else like that. And they forget that they're just damaging their senses. You know? So you say, come to your senses. Okay. You know? We are speaking, it's like about come to your mind. It's like, you know, it's above that. You know? So Maharaj Paranjana came to his senses and came to his intelligence. Now he's becoming refreshed, peaceful, giving up this gross annihilation of his senses. And therefore his mind is also becoming peaceful because his mind has to watch all this. His mind has to see all this sensuous violence. So when you start doing good things with your senses and your mind, if it's absorbing your senses, also becomes peaceful. So now he's searching out his queen. And earlier it explains, in the analogy, earlier it explains the queen represents, yeah, the booty, like that. So then we go, in material life, we go consult with our intelligence about, oh, how can I enjoy, it's Friday, right? Friday evening, everything's finished, I've got to work until Monday. And then you can consult with your intelligence. Oh, what can I do now? Yeah, well, okay, tomorrow night there's a big banquet at the country club, and, but tonight just kind of hang out, just call up a couple people, maybe go to the club and, you know, play some ping pong a little bit and, you know, go to bed, sleep late tomorrow. Oh, okay, thank you, my dear intelligence. You're my good friend. Yeah? Yeah. So, why are ladies called stri? What does it mean, stri? You know? Yeah? Stri? Yeah? Okay. It means that which expands. You want to expand the family, you go to your wife, you know. But also because general intelligence, a lady is more inclined to passion and material involvement like that. So if a man wants to enjoy material life, he talks to his wife and she says, well, we should do this. We should decorate the house like that. And you should get that job. You should go to work and then we can have a good vacation. Time like that, you know. Yeah. It's either, you know, it's usually, otherwise guys just live in, you know, one room cabin with eat beans out of a can. You know, a miserable life, you know. On. Yeah? So this is the intelligence, material intelligence, usually. You know, maybe he's better. Yeah. And then Prabhupada gives this example. This is like when Krishna consciousness. You come to Krishna consciousness, the first what's the first rule of Vaidhi Bhakti? Rupa Goswami gives 50 rules or 50 suggestions. The very first one is? You know? Huh? No? No, he gives 50 rules of sadhana bhakti, of Vaidhi Bhakti. Don't worry, blue in front of the deities, you know. The
oh, you
mean the differences? No. The first one is, take shelter of an acharya. The very first thing. Say, you know, acharya something. Acharya, shraya. And Prabhupada says, take shelter of an acharya means to hear from him. So that's sadhu. In the beginning, the acharya is a sadhu, sitting there person. And if you're sober enough, you can recognize this. You look at it and you realize, you know. So what's he saying? Yeah, ah, makes sense. God is a circle with, you know, no circumference and its center everywhere. Oh, interesting. Yeah. What else is he saying? Yeah, yeah. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Oh, very interesting. Yeah. So you listen, you hear some things. You know? I mean, I was hearing the Prabhupada. That was the thing. I got a Krishna book. I started reading it. Anyway, that was the whole thing. It was this sober, you know. It just made sense. He was talking about religion, monotheism, different things like that, and he just put it all in proper perspective. It was this very reasonable explanation about philosophy and who we are in life, you know, and social relations. And that was it. It was very nice, you know, like that. And then we become peaceful, because now we stop trying to do all these strange things. It's not going to work. Someone tells you, it's not going to work. Don't do that. You know, it's like this. This is who you are. It's, oh. Jayananda said before he met Prabhupada, his grandfather was a minister, a pastor, and he graduated in engineering in Minnesota or something and didn't know what to do with life, and he wasn't satisfied just with the material life. So finally he came out to San Francisco, and there he got a job as a taxi driver and was just trying to figure out what to do, find different things. And he said he read in the paper about the Hare Krishnas and, you know, their guru. So somebody had got an article in the paper, you know. And he said he was even crying a little bit the night before because he was just so depressed, miserable. What is life? Who am I? What should we do? You know. And so then he went to see Prabhupada, and the devotees. So I said, "Oh, Swamiji, yeah, come with us." You know, took him upstairs and, you know, Swamiji, there's another one here. On the door, okay. You know, oh, this guy looks halfway sane. You know? So he brought him in and probably looked at him and told the devotees, "Bring prasadam," like that. And Jayananda said, "Prabhupada always knew what you needed like that." He saw him and said, "Bring prasadam." Yeah. So what happened is prasadam came and he was just eating like that. You know, and Prabhupada was just talking to him. And he said, "Oh, so what are you doing, this and that?" He said, "Oh, I have a job." I said, "Oh, you have a job?" Because all the hippies in him, he's like, "Oh, my job, amazing. Wow, yeah. Yes." And, "Oh, you graduated from engineering school." What? And then he said, "Why, do you have any questions like that?" And he said, "Yes, I just... you know, wondering what is the purpose of life?" And Prabhupada said, "The purpose of life is to be happy." Oh, okay. It's like that. very simple, you know, answer, and seems like it's not really, it's just, okay, yes, you're right, I guess so it is, you know. How to be happy? He said, we have to revive our relationship with God like that, me and Krishna. You know, oh, okay, yeah, how do we do that, you know? So he had a very simple explanation of our philosophy and culture, and Jayananda was completely, you know, satisfied, you know, like that. And I don't think he even, at that point, was even thinking about, you know, initiation or anything else, necessarily, you know. But this is the beginning of sadhu, I mean, saintly people. We associate with saintly people. And at some point, then the next step is what? Is diksha. And then you decide you actually want to matriculate in this school, want to have a formal relationship, you know. I've tried out many schools, you know, investigated many careers, doctor, lawyer, engineer. Okay, I'm going to be a lawyer. And this school is better, but it's too far away. This one's better, but it's you know, foreign language medium. This is near me. Okay, so I'll join this school. So it's kind of like selecting a diksha guru. It's kind of like, Prabhupada says that there's a prejudice in Vedic culture against accepting a sannyasi as guru, diksha guru. Why is that? Huh? There's a prejudice against. It says you shouldn't accept a sannyasi as your diksha guru. Why is that? Because you're never there. You may see him one time, that may be it. You know, it says, better to accept a very pure Brahmin, you know, Brahmin in your community as your diksha guru, and then you can get shiksha from him. But Prabhupada says, but it's okay, especially in the modern world. Everybody's traveling in the modern world, you know. But that's why many times these sannyasis don't do diksha. They don't do this formality. They actually shiksha gurus. They give advice going here and there. And then one Brahmin who lives in the community, then he acts as the diksha guru, you know. And the formalities and making sure that everything is going okay. The Ritvik philosophy, nobody claims to be a Ritvik. If somebody is, there's neo-guru and all this kind of stuff. You have to acharya reform and so many things like that. But nobody claims to be a Ritvik like that, you know. But that idea is that, well, you know, Prabhupada's the only guru and all the other people are just priests and, you know, this is the job, you're initiated, Haribol, I'll never see you again, you know. But another one is that, no, once you form this link, you know, in terms of this initiation ceremony, these formalities like that, then you have a responsibility to continue and ask people like that, are you smoking cigarettes? Well, how did you know? Yeah. So there's somebody who's like, you know, watching you, and it feels good, you know, because sometimes Maya is tempting you, and you know, your diksha guru is supposed to come along and say, back off, witch, out of here, you know. Leave him alone, he belongs to me. See his collar, you know. Yeah. So then there's some, you know, some connection appropriate to the person's own development. You know? But then, so that's, you know, I would say, you might say, even, you know, bona fide spiritual master. It's a little flexible. It's not exactly, you know, hard and fast. This is the way it is, you know. Because bona fide spiritual master may also mean the acharya, you know. We all have the same bona fide spiritual master in ISKCON, right? You know, the Prabhupada. he's the Samstapaka Acharya, you know, founder Acharya, like that. One time, Amitabha, he had a devotee from South India, very erudite. He had his problems with ISKCON. Now he's returned his other name. But he gave a very nice class in Los Angeles. I was just happened to be there that evening. It was just like a Wednesday night class or a Tuesday night class. There's devotees there, but not a lot. And a couple, you know, older, you know, ISKCON acharyas who just happened to be there. And he started talking about the term Samstapaka Acharya. And he said in Ramanuja Sampradaya, it's a very strict term. There's one, you know, the major acharyas after Ramanuja, following Ramanuja, gives like a definition of what it means to be a Samstapaka Acharya. And one big professor in Bengal was also mentioning as a Sampradaya Acharya. The same thing, Sampradaya Acharya, somebody who fixes it like that, you know. For us, it's Rupa Goswami. He's our, you know, our Sampradaya Acharya. So, I can't remember all the points, but there's several. And one of them is that to become Samstapaka Acharya, you have to defeat every philosophy contrary to Vaishnavism current at your time. So think about Prabhupada, and, you know, the rascal scientists, and the Mayavadis, you know. Yeah, he was, you know, they didn't, no, none of them came and, you know, challenged Prabhupada. The rascal scientists didn't come and challenge Prabhupada. And, you know, defeat him with their philosophy, you know, so on. Yeah, even, you know, scientific ideas. Okay. Another one is that you have to synthesize all the knowledge of the previous acharyas before you and then present it in such a way that your disciples don't have to go beyond you, you know, for information. Sometimes my Samastapika Acharya is like the Hanuman Express dispatch. It's complete. Just read the Hanuman Express dispatch to understand everything. You know, my newsletter. You know, just listen to Monkey and Piggy. You know, say no way. It's the exact opposite. It's like that's hopefully to try and like help you to go to the current Acharya. You know, between Narottam Das Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti, is next in the list, there are three generations of gurus. You know, their names are all Chakravartis. But it says that, you know, that Vishwanath Chakravarti is a disciple of Narottam, and Narottam accepted him. How? He didn't jump over his gurus. He went, you know, as soon as they appreciated his level, he'd say, Baba, you're more advanced than I am. So, you know, please you go to start reading the works of so-and-so and that kind of stuff, you know. You can qualify and explain them to me. So it's not impertinent, you know, because the person's asking you to do this, right? So your Diksha Guru is telling you and asking you. So, okay, it's always respectful in that relationship. In other relationship, you're explaining the topics to him. You know? So very subtle. You know, it's authority, guru, you know, Balaram. Like that. Prabhupada says, usually the principal Shiksha Guru becomes Diksha Guru. Right? So our principal Shiksha Guru is Prabhupada, so he becomes our Diksha Guru. In the sense of like a Diksha with an ISKCON, you know, taking an initiation from him. But it also says that what the disciple should act as he has heard from the lips of his spiritual master. So the Ritviks don't like this. They try and like, well, lip actually could be pill. Or you could like, no. It says you must act as you've heard from the lips of your spiritual master. So in that sense, you have to have somebody who's like, you know, talking to you, right? Yeah. But then, okay, then, you know, again, I keep quoting this thing, my lips, you can hear that I heard from Prabhupada's lips, you know, that he said, I will never die. The reporter asked him, what will happen when you die? And Prabhupada said, I will never die, you know. Yeah, I will live forever in my books, you know. So I heard it from my lips. Yeah, so someone else can hear from your lips. So Prabhupada's here. It's kind of like everything else is okay. Now, you know, we know we have contact with him from his books. You know. So guru tattva, you know, so that in a sense, and, you know, somebody also has to give the beads, the names. So someone like myself is acting like guru, but not like, you know, sampradaya acharya, right? You know, Prabhupada says one tape. Prabhupada says one should only accept uttamadhikari as guru. In the same tape, he says, I have never claimed to be uttamadhikari. God, it's like, you know, this one tape he is, you know, it's like, oh, God. He says, but if you engage in devotional service, all of this will become very clear. Right? Just do it. That's the point, devotional service. You start to understand guru. And, you know, my Diksha Guru, the sadhus, Prabhupada, other devotees, become very clear. And you can take more and more shelter, you know, of different people. Radharani is trying to understand everybody as her guru. She wants to be at the bottom of the whole thing because that's the best place to enjoy Krishna. Right? Everybody is serving Krishna, enhancing his beauty. And here I am, you know, serving everybody. Material life is the exact opposite, right? You want to step on everybody else, you know, become the top. There is, you know. And so there's competition to serve, right? The spiritual world. Yeah. Yeah, so then we just appreciate everybody, you know, as my guru. But different kinds. So guru, sadhu, and shastra. And Prabhupada says that shastra is central. You know, a sadhu and guru, they just take shelter of shastra, like that, and present it, like that. Yeah. So this is Paranjana. Yeah, he's given up his killing, become peaceful, gone to his intelligence. Yeah, and Prabhupada compares in this to, like, you know, finally hearing, finally after all these lifetimes, hearing from a saintly person, and then taking formalities of taking Diksha, and then hearing from him, asking relevant questions, you know, afterwards. You can't just be like a, you know, a potato, Idaho potato. Well, I'm initiated now. No, you know, you have to ask questions, right? You know, you have to make inquiries. It's part of the process like that about your spiritual life. One Chinese doctor was from Taiwan, Dr. Zeto. And he charged a lot of money for his medicine like that, you know. And somebody would say, well, that's a lot of medicine. I don't know if I can afford a lot of money. I don't know if I can afford that. He would say, it's your body. You no care, I no care. So The same way, it's your spiritual life. You don't care, I don't care. You're my guru. I don't sit. It's your, you know. So we have to actively make this endeavor to think, well, what's my problem? Why am I not advancing? Like, I can't get up in the morning. Why not? And you have to ask questions about what to do, and you know, like that. Yeah. And then different people, you know, gurus, sadhus. Prabhupada said also garbhadars, sadhus. And, so take take shelter of an acharya, hear from him. Take initiation, formal relationship, clear standard, clear practice. Third one, I think, is that when I'm asking, making relevant questions. And the fourth one, I think, then is learn from him how to serve the previous acharyas or take advantage of the previous acharyas, like that. So then Prabhupada gives us the songs of Narottam, the songs of, you know, Rupa Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti. He gives us the purports of the acharyas, you know, and engages us in, you know, appreciating them, understanding them, and their contribution like that. Yeah. And there's after that so many details, but those first ones, you can probably say one of the competencies, these first ones like that, you'll make rapid advancement in devotional service. Yeah. So that's what's happening to Paranjana, where he's probably comparing it with this. Actually, he's going to go on for material enjoyment, I think, in the next verses. But this is comparing the steps in the spiritual life. And if you heard this before, oh, I heard this, you know, yeah, but outside people, God, you know, there's a lot of idea of what's going on, you know. I mean, many groups, they can't distinguish between God and Guru. Vidvida, you know, the gorilla, Vidvida. Yeah, who's his brother? Yeah, he mentions the Krishna book, Mainda. And they were great generals for Sugriva, and they appreciated that Ram was the supreme transcendence in human form. But they thought Lakshman was someone like them. He just done austerities, got some potency, and maybe we're stronger than he is. So they could appreciate God, but not Guru. And so many, it may happen to many people. The Christians, they take Jesus Christ as God. He's God, you know. They distinguish, though. They can't distinguish between Jehovah and Christ. And it's different functions. You know? And so then when you appreciate this difference, then you can start to take advantage of the guru. Right? Yeah. So different levels of development. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Complaints? Okay? Yeah, okay.
You were talking about some of the qualifications of some sort of charity.
Yeah.
And the culture of some sort of charity.
Yeah.
We have so much information about Srila Prabhupada's history
before
he came to this time, but I don't really understand how, given the information that we have, I don't really understand how he acquired so much knowledge from previous acharyas in order to synthesize the Vaishnava philosophy. But we don't have information on how to fit the time out to learn all of it.
Well, he was... I don't know, yeah, because yeah, I think he was studying, you know, he was studying, actually his wife sold his Bhagavatam or something like that, you know. I think he was whatever Bhakti Siddhanta was publishing, The Harmonist and things like that. He was reading all of those. You know. And at some point he was had the commentaries, when he started writing his own commentary, but maybe before that even, he also had the commentaries, you know. So Bhakti Siddhanta is also an acharya, you know, and so from him, to be hearing from him, you know, and whatever Guru Maharaj has written, all these kind of things. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta also, he gives like a, you know, complete synthesis like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what, there was like a couple of other qualifications for some stuff.
Yeah, I can't remember what they are.
Yeah, I think it was in the gate discussion, but in the
Yeah. 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 I was there for her Sampradaya Acharya thing. It was nice. I'm gonna, our plan, I usually go to Denver 1 year, Vancouver the other year. I went to Denver this year. So I finally got an invitation to go to the Rath Yatra this year. Because I noticed about some places my contribution is about every 2 years. It's about like, yeah, because you have different places, you know, people have different relationships. So Vancouver and Denver, hey. So next year, probably going to go to the Vancouver Rath Yatra. We can all go like that. I was there 2 years ago. They had Gopal. Remember Gopal, the little ox? That the devotee bought him.
Yeah.
That was the devotee, Gonatai or somebody? Oh, yeah. Gonatai. Yogi's child? Well, they bought a little bull, you know, ox, you know, and then his wife would feed him and stuff, so he grew up as like part of the family, and they trained him how to work. And now he's, you know, he's big, you know, like that. You know? So they brought him down for the Rath Yatra, just to pull a cart and stuff like that. He had a little corral out back of the temple area there, it's very nice. And he took some water from the hose and put it in front of him. He sniffed it and wouldn't drink it. And he went like, he hadn't any water traveling, and he went like about 6 more hours, refused to drink this water from the tap water. And so Vaisheshika, of course, has his water filter business, so he was in ecstasy, like, you know, just see, even this bull won't drink the water. So I signed right out here for water filters, you know. So then they had to buy these big bottles of, like, you know, filtered water, you know, for him. He just drank it. It was just like, you know, drank like, you know, for 18 gallons or something like that, you know. Like that, you know. But it was incredible. He smelled it, wouldn't drink it. Yeah? Incredible, you know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but other water immediately, just drank it. Very sensitive. Yeah. But he was pulling the cart in the parade. It was very nice. It was a very beautiful parade then, a lot of variety. You know. And many people were commenting, wow, we didn't know they were so big again, and stuff like that. You know, it was like, they never had seen a bull before, and they would approach him, and he was, you know, very gentle, you know, like that. The little kids giving him the apples and stuff, you know. Yeah. So it was a nice festival. Then afterwards, it was a whole week long. You know, usually Rath Yatra and Janmashtami, so it was a whole week in between of different events like that. And it's gone. It's okay. So your intelligence is helping you? It's giving you good advice about how to enjoy life? No? Usually, I think you can see that. Usually, you can see. For a lot of us, our mind is like a problem. I mean, it's always coming up with all these, you know, we call it soap operas about, well, he said, she said, that I'm going to say. You know, we're the hero, we're being, you know, smashed, you know. It's like your mind is coming up with all these things, you know. And your intelligence can tell. It says, this is not me. We identify with it. Yeah, this is not me. Your intelligence says, hey, and you go, see, well, God, I'm not like that, you know. Even if I'm identifying with it, I just don't want to. You know, I want to become more and more detached from this, you know. But then the intelligence is like, you know, we identify with the intelligence, you know, to a large degree, you know, that platform. To really come to being free even from the intelligence, that requires a really intense kirtan for some time. We can really get off, even off the intellectual platform and realize it. And the best time to do it, of course, is, you know, Bodhi is Mangalartik. I was talking to one devotee about coming to Mangalartik, and he was saying, he said, well, that's what all the plans are made, huh? You know, like that. Well, no, you don't make plans during Mangalartik. That's later on after breakfast, right? It's a good time in the morning. This is Brahma Muhurta is a good time to establish your perspective. That's what you're trying to work on then. Who am I? I'm servant of Krishna, Sarvada and Krishna, spiritual master. And when you got your perspective down properly, the Bodhi, you know, then, okay, now it's time for breakfast. You have your breakfast and you meet with the people you're going to work with. And then you start making plans. Go to manas, right? And then go to passion now. You're going to do that, this, you know. Yeah. And then finally when the evening comes, you just relax in the mode of ignorance and just put on the latest CD of the Mayapur festival or hear, you know, have you read Ramayana with your family about Hanuman fighting. And just, okay. You know, But it's a very natural cycle in a day. That's why it's so important, these morning hours. Otherwise, you know, whatever perspective you have, you can't work on it. You know, and eventually Maya will give you a bad perspective. So maybe, you know, she's really quite satisfied to take you to hell one step a day. You know, it's one step a day is, you know, maybe very elevated, 20 stories in the sky. But Maya's quite happy if she's able to take you down one step, first day, one step a day, second day. That was enough. You degraded him one step today. I'm satisfied. I'm willing to take 40 or 50 years, you know, to drag him down. Oh, yeah. And if you have no perspective after dropping down 2 or 3 stories, you just don't even notice it. You know, I used to be like that, but oh, you know. Yeah, I used to have a strong program. Oh, I was a little crazy. Ha, ha, ha. Too much 16 rounds of Mangalartik could go crazy. I know people say that, you know. Gotta be more practical. You know, like that. Eat a little chocolate and, you know, some onions are good for you, you know? Right? Started out with chocolate, but soon hit the harder stuff. I have Bob Dylan's song. Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Aprasadam ki. Mode of passion ki. Here we go. Here we go. I know. Time.
Last night.